I want you to open your Bibles to a familiar passage today, whether you were in Sabbath school, whether you were in morning service, and now in the evening service in Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. And of course, when we think about this, when I heard our brother Reverend Stripp speaking in the Sabbath school this morning, and then I heard our brother Reverend McKee speaking in the morning service, well, certainly we're all on the same story and the same incident, but the Word of God is precious, and the Word of God is ever new. I want us to read some verses from verse number 7 of Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. The angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. They came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary pondered all these things, and Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Let's keep our Bibles open. Let's bow our heads in prayer and seek the face of God. Eternal God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy Word tonight. We thank Thee for the power of Thy Word. We thank Thee, our God, that even in the reading of Thy Word, how that Thy Word can come with power to our hearts. And Lord, speak to us concerning eternal things. We thank Thee, it's all about Jesus. We thank Thee, our God, our Heavenly Father, that Thou hast provided in Thy Son eternal redemption, eternal salvation, that we should never perish, neither can anyone pluck us out of Thy hand. Lord, bless Thy word to our hearts tonight, and do us good, for we pray in Jesus' precious and His lovely name, and for His sake and glory. Amen. You know, Christmas is a time that is certainly loved by many, especially the boys and girls, and also many mums and dads as well. But let's be honest. Christmas is not only a time that's loved, but Christmas is a time that people can also feel very lonely. Perhaps during this year, since last Christmas, you remember the passing of a loved one. And someone who is very precious in your home or in your life has been taken away. And this Christmas will be a lonely Christmas, because Christmas won't be the same as it used to be. But you know, for some people, Christmas is just a time for erecting the Christmas tree and putting on the Christmas lights and giving plenty and receiving plenty in return. It's also a time of hassle. People's running here, they're running there, they're running yonder. And yet it seems to be that no matter how much we get done, we're always rushing at the last minute just to get that last thing done, those last few presents. Someone has said these words. We spent money at Christmas. We spent money we don't have. Sometimes for people we don't like, and acquire things we don't even need and we don't even want. Would that be a summary of what you will do this Christmas? And after all of that hustling, after all that bustle, after all your gettings, somehow you get it wrong, ending up being sad about it, miserable yourself and somebody else as well. For many boys and girls, Christmas
is that time when they talk about Santa Claus and the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, plenty of food and presents and gifts and friends. And yet across the world tonight, the reality is this, and many people haven't a clue of what Christmas is about at all. For some people, it's just a time for the family gathering in, bringing in the family and the friends, having a time of parties, a time of fun. And sad to say, for many, an excuse for drink and all the rest. But friend, that's not the meaning of Christmas. You couldn't be further from Christmas if that's what it means to you. You see, Christmas is about a person. It's about the person, the Lord Jesus Christ, the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, that one who was prophesied many hundreds of years before, right away from the book of Genesis chapter 3 and the prophecy of Micah that was read this morning, the prophecy of Isaiah, and other many passages of God's word where the prophets foretold the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we read the scriptures tonight in Matthew. And then we read in Luke. And what we were reading about in those books of the New Testament was the fulfillment of the prophecies. In other words, the promise that God had made by the sending of a son, even Micah, some 700 years before it, identifying the very place where God's son would be born. You see, this book is the infallible book of God. And so the books of the New Testament, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, they tell us about his coming. How Jesus came into this world to fulfill the prophecies and the promises that God has made. We think of that one that our brother Jonathan read tonight. Isaiah chapter 9. Let's just for a moment look at that verse. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. What kind of a prophecy is this about the Lord Jesus Christ? It says these words, and her brother read it. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. Because in the original, there's no comma in between those first two names. Wonderful Counselor is all one word. He shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. But do you notice that prophecy? Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. But notice what it didn't say. It didn't say unto us a son is born and unto us a child is given. No, it didn't say that. It couldn't say that, because that would not be the fulfillment of the prophecy at all. Because you see, friend, it was the child that was born. It was the son that was given. And there we have the humanity of Christ and the deity of Christ. You see, there we have the child is born. That is his humanity. Because a child is born, in other words, there is the day of his birth. There is the beginning of that little child. Let me tell you this. The Lord Jesus Christ, we're celebrating the birth of Christ. That child being born. This is the year of our Lord, 2015. In other words, we did it back to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But friend, notice, the child was born, yes, away back then. But the son was given. That's different. Because you see, God's son was the gift that God has given. And for a gift to be given, it must first of all exist. And the Lord Jesus Christ did not start at Bethlehem. For God's Son was given. He's the eternal Son of the eternal Father. Ah, yes, the wonder and the truth of this all, prophesied hundreds of years before. And then we read about that child born in Luke chapter 2. And our brother looked at some of the thoughts this morning, but there are other little thoughts that the Lord has put in my heart to bring on that same passage of God's word. And our two brethren this morning, notice first of all, the angel's proclamation. Go to verse number 10, or verse 9. The angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not. Here's the angel's proclamation. First of all, it was a soothing word. You see, the Bible says they were sore afraid. That meant they were terrified. You imagine the shepherds out in the field that night? And as they were just simply looking after their sheep, and they were, yes, looking out for wild animals or any animal of prey that would come and touch those sheep or those lambs, they were doing their business, but they never expected what was going to happen. They were watching all around them, and then suddenly, above them, an angel appears. The Bible says that whenever the angel appeared, they were sore afraid. They were absolutely terrified. Now, if you saw an angel probably tonight, you'd be terrified. You see, whenever the angel appeared in the book of Genesis concerning Sodom and Gomorrah, the angel was there to announce the judgment of God. Whenever the shepherds saw the angel, they weren't expecting the angel, and they thought, here is a message from God. It has to be a message of judgment because of the sinfulness of the people. But it wasn't a message of fear. It was a message of joy. Now, fear is one of the most natural feelings of every person. Do you know where it goes back to? Genesis chapter 3. Because when God appeared, the voice of the Lord God appeared unto Adam and Eve in the garden, the Bible says, Adam said, when God said, Adam, where art thou? And he said, he came out of, he said, God, I hid myself, for I was what? I was afraid. He was afraid of God, friend. Why? Because of his sin. And I say to you tonight in this meeting, listen, you ought to be afraid of God tonight if you're still in your sin. You see, one of the signs of the last days is this: there is no fear of God before their eyes. And that's why people can blaspheme God, and they can laugh while they do it. That's why they can curse the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're totally unafraid. Let the Bible says, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Let me tell you, friends, whenever the terrorists were all around us in this wee province, and when men and women were looking under their cars, or didn't know when the package came what it was going to be, people were afraid. They were afraid to open the package. They were afraid to get into their cars. That was the fear of man. You know what Jesus said? Fear not man, that all he can do is destroy the body. I say unto you, fear him, fear God, that can destroy both body and soul in hell. I asked you tonight, do you have a fear of God? Dear sinner, child of God, yes, there is a fear that we have, but it is an awe of God Almighty in our worship of God. But my friend, every unsaved person should have a fear of God, lest tonight you fall into the hands of that angry God. Because if you fall into God's hands, friend, you'll be thrown into hell. for all eternity. You see, people are afraid today. Let me tell you. People are afraid of stupid things. Let's be honest. People are afraid of heights. Well, maybe that's not so stupid. People are afraid of spiders. See the wee thing? It's not the size of a tablespoon. Yeah, people jump back. Ooh. And friend, they climb the walls to get away from it. Fear. People are afraid of disease. Lest the doctor tells you you have that dreaded disease. People are afraid of old age. People are afraid of grey hair. It's amazing. You see some people, and it's not only women, but some men, and they see their grey hair, and their boys, they get all worked up. And they want to cover it up. And then they'll pull it out. And then I was told, when I was a boy, you pull it out, there's five combs in this place, so stop the pulling. Some was no trouble in pulling, because people's afraid of bald heads. Afraid of going bald. They'd do anything. Fear. The fear of man. Listen, friend, it's real. It's real. But I say unto you, fear God. Because let me tell you, God's real. Don't you fool around with God, friend. Because God has the last say. Don't you lift your fist in the face of God, friend, and tell you, God, I'll tell God a thing or two. Let me tell you, friend. You see, the day when you stand before God, every mouth shall be silent. Fear God. And yet the angels came, and the shepherds were terrified with fear. And the angel said, you have nothing to fear. What did the psalmist say? Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. Lord, you're there. And friend, it is a good thing, it's a wonderful thing, it's a blessed thing to know that whatever you have got to face this week, when you're saved, the Lord's there. Whatever news you receive this week, listen, the Lord's there. He's always with his people. And he says, fear not. I'm with thee. Don't be afraid. You know, these shepherds, they were afraid because here was a visitation of God, friend. Who were these shepherds? Listen, as our brother said this morning, shepherds were people that were despised. They were not allowed to give evidence in the court of law. They weren't acceptable. They were social outcasts. They were looked upon as being dirty and smelly and unkept. They were outcasts. But there's something else about them. They were also religious outcasts because they were seen to be unfit to participate in the ceremonies of the temple. And yet, isn't it amazing? That's the one the Lord came first to. The outcasts. The outcasts. You see, friend, that's why he came. Why did the Lord Jesus Christ come? The Bible says he came to seek and to save that which was lost. And the sad reality is tonight that people are not willing to admit that they are sinners. I want to tell you, my friend, if you're not willing to take your place as a sinner, that book has no good news for you. There's nothing but condemnation for sin.
Except a man will confess a sin, and thank God if he humbles himself and he confesses as a sinner, Christ Jesus came in to save them.
Hallelujah. That's why he came. That's the reason for the season. That Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. And isn't it amazing that the first ones to see the Savior, the first ones to look upon the face of the Lamb of God, were shepherds that were thought unworthy? Have you taken your place as a sinner tonight? Have you confessed your sin before God? Listen, it was a soothing word. It was a saving word. Because the word was this, in verse number 10, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you, listen, this is personal, not only for all people, listen, the word unto you, you outcasts, you nobody shepherds, you that the world looks upon as nobodies, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. I remember a wee chorus we often sing, or we often sang when I was a child. He did not come to judge the world. He did not come to blame. He did not only come to seek, it was to save. He came, and when we call him Savior, we call him by his name. Listen, can I ask you a question? Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. Is he your Savior? Or is he just simply a Savior? You see, you ask people how you get into heaven. People tell you, well, I go to church. I say my prayers. I read my Bible. I try to do good deeds. I help old people. And they'll tell you about all. Notice, I. Friend, let me tell you. I's not the way to heaven. Jesus is. And Jesus says, I am the way. And you've heard me say it countless times, but it's worth repeating. You can get to heaven without riches, and you can get to heaven without fame, and you can get to heaven without popularity or possessions, but you will never, ever, ever get to heaven without Jesus, the Savior. Can you say tonight, the Lord is my Savior? My Lord? My friend? Are you his tonight? Be honest. Listen, there's no use fooling yourself, friend. There's no use pulling the wool over you. What an awful thing to deceive your own soul, to tell you yourself, listen, well, sure, everything will work out in the end. Let me tell you, friend, it's not. You've got to turn from your sin if you're going to get to heaven. You're going to repent of your sin if you're going to heaven. You've got to turn to Christ and to Christ alone, for he's the only way to heaven. And they said, unto you is born this day a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Christ, the Messiah, the sent one, the Son, Savior, a Son, the Lord, the Sovereign. Is he Lord of your life tonight? Maybe there's someone in the service, be honest before God, friend. You know all about this because you have heard it perhaps from childhood, from the days that your mommy carried you to the house of God as a child, and many of you, I remember it well. You're grown up now, maybe a family of your own. But you're still not saved. You're still not saved. You know about the Savior, but you don't know him. And friend, you're lost in your sin. Very quickly, the shepherds praised. You know what they did? Immediately the shepherds heard this. It says, if you go verse number 15, and it came to pass as the angels, they were the messenger of God, they were gone away from them. Let me tell you, God's messenger, friend, can leave you. And so can God. God can leave you. The Spirit of God can leave you in your sin. For the Word of God says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. And here we find that the angels, they went back to heaven. And then it says, the shepherd said, let us now go even on to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary. What did they do, friend, when they heard this? They came to Jesus. They came to Jesus. You see, hearing's one thing, but as many a person has heard the gospel over and over and over again, but they have never come to Christ. And maybe you're that person tonight. There's never been a moment in your life where you have humbled yourself and confessed, Lord Jesus, I'm the sinner that you came to save. Lord Jesus, be my Savior. Be my Lord. Notice they said, let us now go. We're going now. Will you come to Christ now, friend? The hymn writer says, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. What did the Word of God says? Listen, in verse number 16, and they came with haste. He says, let us go now. But friend, they did something else. They came. They came with haste, the urgency. If I could only tell you, friend, how urgent it is to get right with God. The people that I spoke tonight and sympathized with our families, let me tell you, last Lord's Day, they were all here in this earth. Tonight they're gone. Now, I know some were old, and their death was expected. But let me tell you, there were two out of the five that weren't expected. One in the late 30s. One, I think, other in the 50s. But they're gone tonight to meet God. To meet God. Tell me, what about you? Christmas Day, I can't promise you, friend. I cannot promise you'll gather around or that I'll gather around the table at Christmas for my Christmas dinner. I cannot promise a person. But here's what I can promise you. If you come to Christ, he'll save you. It says, and they came with haste and they found him. And I can guarantee you tonight, if you call upon the name of the Lord, I can guarantee you in the Savior's name, he'll save you. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not might, not maybe, shall be. I can't promise you tonight or tomorrow. For God says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. But I can promise you, if you come to Christ, him or her that cometh to me, says Jesus, I will in no wise cast out. I can promise you that. Dead on sure. On the authority of God's word. And they came with haste. And they left with gladness. Because it says in verse 20, and with this I'll finish. And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen. Thank God there's personal experience. They not only heard about him, praise God, they saw him. They came to him and went home happy. And thank God if you come to Christ tonight, thank God he's promised in his precious word, if we confess our sins, he's faithful, he's just to forgive us our sin, and he'll cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And praise God, he'll give you the joy of the Lord in your heart. You can go home rejoicing in Christ your Savior. What will you do with them? Will you sit at the Christmas table on Christmas Day, yes, saying, I'm remembering his birth, but I don't want him? Remember, there was no room for them in the inn. Do you know why? Because it was full already. And friend, let me tell you, that's why you have no room for Jesus tonight. Your heart's full already with your sin and yourself. You've got to turn from sin and self and turn to him and be saved. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy precious word tonight. We pray that by thy Holy Spirit that thou will write thy word upon every heart. Thou knowest everyone in this service tonight that's lying, everyone that's saved, everyone that's in the family of God, everyone whose name's written in heaven. And they'll never perish. But Lord, tonight thou also dost know those that are not. They're not right with thee. They're in their sin. They're lost. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, friend, before God, let me ask you, will you let him in? Will you let Jesus into your heart? Will you receive him? Or will you say to Christ, no room, Jesus. Room for the parties. Room for the pleasures. Room for the possessions and gifts. But no room for Jesus. No room in my heart for thee. As every head is bowed and eyes closed, friend, can I beg you, just as you're still before God, young children, mummies and daddies, grandas and grannies, uncles and aunts, I beg you in God's name, open your heart to Christ tonight. As many as received him, receive him. Ask him to be your Savior. Repent of your sin and turn to Christ, and thank God you'll be saved. For God's word's true. Please come and speak to Mr. McKee or myself afterwards. Don't walk away without Christ. Say, O Lamb of God, I come. Lord, bless the food to our bodies. Bless our time of friendship together. But, O Spirit of God, Don't let the din of man disturb the drawing of thy spirit. Save for Jesus' sake.